Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, July 29th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Is it hot in Dallas?
Yeah, it's reasonably hot. It's in the 90s. It's not really bad, though. This has been a fairly mild summer. I've had summers down here where you have something like 70, 80, 90 consecutive days over 100 degrees. That's difficult. That's challenging. It hasn't been like that. We have a few over 100, a few days over 100 degrees, but it hasn't been all of them. So it's a fairly comfortable summer.
Well,
for Texas. I wouldn't say it'd be comfortable for Illinois or Pennsylvania or whatever, but it's comfortable for Texas.
Well, I know there's a cold front moving through the east, and we've certainly had cool temperatures today.
You know what that means, don't you, Melody?
Snow.
Unseasonably cold weather. It's going to collapse another quarter of the economy.
Well, I believe tomorrow they're going to be releasing the new GDP numbers and the revisions to that first quarter. So we'll have to see if what the revisions hold. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. But first, today we're going to talk about the price of gold being down $3.10 on the New York spot exchange. We have 310 on 1301. We have silver up 3 at 20.70. Platinum was down 6 at 1482, along with palladium down 1 at 883. USDX, for what it has shown, it's up 0.21 at 81.21. And crude oil today was down 0.84 at 183. And the paper markets today, I don't think there was a lot of action there in the markets. They were up higher earlier in the day, and most of the stocks have ended lower. So you have the Dow down 60 points at 16,922. The NASDAQ was down 1 at 44.43. And the S&P down 8 at 1970. And the 10-year yield is 2.46%, down 0.03. And a new report came out today that 1 in 3 U.S. adults have debt in collections. So there's an estimated 1 in 3 adults with a credit history or 77 million people are so far behind on some of their debt payments that their account has been put into collections. And it examined non-mortgage debt, including credit card bills, car loans, medical bills, child support payments, and even parking tickets. And this report was done by the Urban Institute study. And the debt collections range from as little as $25 to a whopping $125,000, but the average amount owed was only $5,200. So it doesn't seem like people are getting a handle on their debt. And, of course, most states that we think would have the highest percentage of residents with debt in collections, which state do you think that might be? Al?
I don't know. I don't have an idea. I couldn't guess. Who's most indebted? I don't know. It sounds like it might be it'll probably be something surprising like Hawaii or something, but it might be Illinois crosses my mind. But Alabama?
How about Nevada?
Nevada.
With Nevada, tomato, tomato, 47% as well, the highest average amount owed is $71.98. And the metro area, Las Vegas, is where 49% of the residents had debt in collection. Now, who do you think had the lowest percentage of residents?
Well, maybe someplace like South Dakota or North Dakota, one of the with the oil boom up there, that might be.
And you're right. North Dakota had the lowest with debt in collections at just 19%. The District of Columbia had the lowest average dollar amount.
They just add their debt to the national debt. That's all it is. If you're in the District of Columbia, just put your debt in with the national debt. Who's going to notice?
So, it's just something to see that people are not getting a handle on their debt. And, of course, we all know the obvious reasons. The jobs are not there in order for them to do so. And then the wages are not there. And it's more and more difficult to make your monthly bills.
I understand. And this does not mean that the numbers you've come up with, if I heard correctly, about a third. Did you say that about a third of the people would have debt that was in collection right now?
Yes. What?
That doesn't mean that only a third of the people are in debt.
No. Nope.
It means that a third are in collection.
That's right.
It implies that, who knows, probably 90% of the people in this country are in debt. But a 33% or thereabouts can't make the payments, but the other, what would it be, 57% thereabouts, remainder on that 90%? They're making their payments currently, but they're also in debt. So, you know, if the economy doesn't improve, we can expect to see the numbers of people in debt and in collection. We can expect to see them grow. Part of the reason, we've got one report, I don't have it right here in front of me, we'll probably get to it before the program is done. They just point out that the number of new jobs that are created and the increase in wages really isn't keeping up with inflation, which means that consumers are going to have less, and so long as that's true, consumers will have less and less money to spend. And in an economy where two-thirds of the economy is based on consumer spending, where are we going to get any strength in the economy? How will the economy be restored, healed, if wage increases don't even match inflation? Right? It just stands to reason people don't have money to go stimulate the economy, and they won't have money to buy things, and they won't have money to pay off their debt. And therefore, we can expect to see more. More Americans would become increasingly familiar with the debt collector. People we can look forward to getting on a first-name basis with the debt collectors.
And there is a number as far as those that are merely just past due, and that's about 5.3% of the adult, or 1 out of 20 with a credit file that is
past due, but it's not yet in collections.
Not in collections. Yet.
So what we're talking about then is we have 38% of the American people
yes.
who are either in collection or at least past due on their debt. We're talking almost 40% probably. You're talking, what, you know, 4 out of 10, 2 out of 5 who are in or near collection. And it's just another one of those leaves in the breeze. How can this be good? I don't see a happy ending. Another one of those points where prepare, protect yourself. One of the important things people should learn, you got to think twice about going into debt. I mean, you've got to do what you can to stay out of it, minimize it. I know that's hard to do in this society, the way things are structured, but just the same, those of you who are able to avoid going deeper into debt or perhaps avoiding debt altogether, you're on your way to being able to perhaps survive if we have a very difficult economic circumstance. You have the highest probability getting through this. People that are in debt, you know, the problems will only be magnified. People have savings, they'll have a higher probability getting through.
Today, J.P. Morgan, you know, we all hear about the fines that these folks, these banks are paying. J.P. Morgan Chase is going to pay $650,000, not even $1 million anymore, to settle charges by the federal regulators that it filed inaccurate reports on the trading positions of some of its large customers. The CFTC commission announced at the settlement today that they will continue to said that J.P. Morgan continued to submit inaccurate reports to the agency from 2012 through February of this year, even though the CFTC staff found errors in them and notified J.P. Morgan. So they just ignored the CFTC, and all they get is a $650,000 fine. The New York banker neither admitted nor denied wrongdoing in the settlement, and it agreed to certify in writing that it has improved and tested its procedures for filing reports. And so, you know, again, it's just another thing they get to do. They pay to do ill. They pay to do ill.
I've got an article here that was written by Jim Hightower. He was the Texas Commissioner of Agriculture, Department of Agriculture, from the late 80s into the early 1990s. And he's still a columnist and a radio commentator and the rest of that. And he's got an article, Astoundingly Legal Corporate Tax Thievery. And he says, I really don't mind paying what I owe, but I hate paying the taxes owed by the likes of J.P. Morgan Chase, ExxonMobil, and Amazon. Mm-hmm. They're just a few of the astonishingly profitable corporations adept at minimizing their tax tabs. That shift means more of the cost of everything, from the military to the national parks. That shifts more of the cost of everything from the military to the national parks onto our shoulders, meaning the ordinary taxpayers. He says, we constantly hear CEOs and other congressional hirings wail about the punishing official tax rate of 35% assessed on corporate profits. But they're grinning as they're crying. Well, they know they actually don't pay anything near that. In fact, the latest assessment by Government Accounting Office found that U.S. corporations pay an average tax rate of only 12.6%, forcing workaday taxpayers to cover the multiple billions of dollars that these privileged elites dodge. How do they do that? Simple. They duck through ridiculous loopholes in our tax laws. How ridiculous. Try the subsidy for corporate criminals. If you get a speeding ticket, do you get to deduct the fine from the income tax you owe? Ha! Just try it. But J.P. Morgan Chase was fined more than $20 billion last year for major frauds and consumer ripoffs, and its honchos have now deducted that punishment from the corporate tax bill, claiming it as a cost of doing business. Oh, they also got to deduct the many millions of dollars they paid to lawyers to defend their blatant wrongdoing. Now, this is the point of this. They're deducting fines as a cost of doing business. It means that they are operating with a mentality not far removed from that of a drug smuggler who recognizes you got some Colombian drug kingpin who's smuggling drugs into the United States. He knows that if he sends 100 shipments of drugs into the United States, some number of shipments are going to be intercepted, and he's going to lose those drugs. He knows that some of the people working for him are going to be caught and charged. They're going to be arrested and charged and perhaps imprisoned. He understands from his perspective, of the drug dealer's perspective, that this is just a cost of doing business. Right? The corporations, J.P. Morgan Chase, thinks it sees it the same way. $20 billion in fines for fraud and consumer ripoffs. That's just a cost of doing business. They get caught part of the time. But the wheels continue to turn, and the money continues to be stacked up for corporations while they cry about they're overtaxed. And good God. So, Melody,
and
what
supports them, and what I have said for many a year, all that money that flows into Wall Street, it helps destroy this country. They use it. Wall Street is their bank. So the more money you put in the Wall Street, you're only helping J.P. Morgan Chase. You're only helping these crooks to continue to be crooks. You're the drug addict. You keep buying their products and going to them and using Wall Street, hoping to get some sort of a fix, and they're taking you, and guess who's going to lose? You know, people become so addicted, they end up losing everything, and that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to take everything from you while they continue to get wealthy, more power. They'll be able to buy off more governments, not here but around the world, until the system just stops.
And it is a system where you're being looted. The people are being looted. They're being robbed. Why? Because they go out and they actually do work for a living. But through things like inflation, you're being paid less and less. And it's not like you're not being paid at all. It's not like the debt isn't being paid. It's that part of what you are earning is being effectively siphoned off to benefit the government. That inflation is not a victimless crime. You are the victim, and someone is profiting from your losses. And that means it's not happening by accident. The government wants inflation so it can rip off its creditors. It wants to do that. There are people in the world who have been frugal and prudent and sensible and wise, and they have saved their money. They've lived on less than they make, and therefore they were able to save money rather than go into debt and spend more than they make. And they've saved that money, and now they've got it. Say, I'd like to lend this money out. They get a reasonable rate of return. And under current circumstances, you can't do that. You've saved the money, but it's being eroded by inflation. The inflation rate is higher than the interest rate. Insofar as that's true, you cannot profit from savings that are invested at current interest rates. And that serves the borrower. Borrowers are getting over. Right? Lenders are being hurt and capital is being destroyed. But even the borrowers, you get into this, and even though it's an easy money situation, if the economy goes down and you can't pay that debt, you're still in danger just by taking out the loans. The whole thing becomes a kind of insanity. We are cannibalizing each other, feeding off each other, and ultimately there's going to be a problem, a serious problem that'll flow from this. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Sederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I want to encourage the listeners to visit our website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. That's Discount Gold Silver, DGScoins with an S. com. Sign up for your weekly newsletter, and our radio programs are archived daily and monthly. And last night I was on a Dr. Stan Monteith's program, and Tom from Spokane called in, and he complimented me on our program, how great of a job that we do. We broadcast up there in Spokane, and Tom has done some business here with Discount Gold and Silver, and it was a very nice phone call. It was I was surprised. That was the first time after so many years that we've been broadcasting out of Spokane, and me with Dr. Stan for, what, nine, 10 years, it was a nice call. So we do a great job on these radio programs. And so, folks, if you want to listen to any of the backdated ones, if you missed any, we do have them archived on the website. So we got a great special, Silver Eagles. We're going to continue the free Silver Eagle for the month of July. And if you're looking for a box, we buy so many Silver Eagles that they just send us boxes without even knowing they're sending them to us. They know we're honest. They know we're honest, and so we have to call them up and say, hey, you know, you sent us an extra box of Silver Eagles. So we got an extra box of Silver Eagles here. I doubt if it will be here for the late-night listeners, but for you listeners now, if you want to give us a call, we can go ahead, and we'll give you a very, very special deal on that box of 500. 800-375-4188, Al.
Okay, we've got an article here from Yahoo Finance, Why the Economy is Worse Than You Think. They write, since the beginning of 2014, we've witnessed a steady drip of good news as the economy shows signs of life. Job growth is somewhat strong. Inflation has been apparently tame. Since the financial crisis of 2008-2009, the economy has been steadily improving. But could it actually be worse than we think? Kamal Sri Kumar, president of Sri Kumar Global Strategies and senior fellow at the Milken Institute, says don't break out the party hats and streamers yet. He puts the blame on the Federal Reserve for their overly rosy and incorrect economic forecasts. He says the Fed has been consistently wrong since 2009. The Fed is overly optimistic. Kumar himself is actually looking for 2014 U.S. GDP growth to be just in the 1 to 1.5% area, well below forecasts made by the Fed, the IMF, and the World Bank. From a jobs point of view, Kumar notes that while 288,000 jobs were created in June, they were mostly part-time jobs. Full-time jobs actually declined. Couple that with nominal wages rising by only about 2% over the past year, which Kumar notes is less than the corresponding consumer price inflation, and consumer spending is likely to remain weak. With consumer spending accounting for a massive two-thirds of the U.S. GDP, the question becomes, where will the growth come from? If consumer spending is, you know, it's being diminished by inflation, and it's not growing to give enough to keep up with inflation, then consumer spending has to diminish. And if consumer spending is two-thirds of the economy, that's not cause for celebration. That's essentially his argument. Here's another article that parallels this, also from Yahoo Finance. And the headline is, Why is the Big Money Dumping Stocks? Big money managers may be doing something the retail investors aren't, pulling money out of the market. Now, this is an observation. We'll explain it more as we get into the article, but it's debatable why large investors are removing money from the stock market, but it's not inconsistent with the idea that we saw in this first article that consumers can't spend as much as they have in the past. The economy, therefore, is unlikely to grow. What is the reason for optimism? And some institutions are apparently recognizing this possibility, and they're saying we want to get our money out of the stock markets. Here's more from this article again, Why is the Big Money Dumping Stocks? Last week, investors added $380 million into equity mutual funds, according to Thomson Reuters Lipper. At the same time, exchange-traded funds focusing on equities, the kinds of securities traded by institutional investors, saw a whopping $8 billion in outflows. Huh? That's the biggest outflow seen since February, around the time the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 5% from its highs at the time. According to Gina Sanchez, founder of Centico Global, investors should pay close attention to what the institutional investors are doing. They're talking about the big banks. They're talking big money. And Sanchez says, follow institutional flows first. Institutional money will flow out. The market will then start to correct. Then mutual fund money, retail money, will follow and compound that correction. She's saying a correction will run. There will be at least two waves. First, institutional investors say, I'm out of here. They are the big money. They are presumably the smart money. And they say, this thing's going to be a problem. We want out. Then the retail money, the mutual fund money, catches on, they say, look what those institutional investors are doing. And they follow suit. And what happens is we start with a correction from the institutional funds, and then when the retail funds or the mutual funds catch on and they follow suit, we have more of a correction. We have two legs on this, and God knows what happens if the people catch on. The article continues, it says, retail investors are at the tail end of dumping the stocks. When you start to see institutional investors pulling out, they tend to be a little more nimble and a little more ahead of the curve than mutual funds and retail investors. This is a moment where everybody needs to sit up and take note. And when she says this is a moment, she's talking about now. Because, again, nearly $8 billion was pulled out of the stock market by institutional investors in the last week. So, if the institutional investors are going out of stocks, Melody, where do you suppose they're going to?
Good question. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, that they're
maybe the Bahamas.
Maybe they would be looking for quality. They'd be, well, not quality, but a safe haven. I mean, bonds. I mean, they, you know, foreign gold. We certainly haven't seen it in the price of gold to be reflected.
No.
So, cash.
They may be just sitting on cash. They might be sitting on cash.
That's what I
think. Take it down, sit on cash. But the implication is
the corporations,
that major institutions believe that we are on the verge of a significant correction in stocks. And it might be a 5% correction. It might be a 10% correction. We don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be. The implication is that they believe there's a significant correction on the immediate horizon. They're getting out now. They will not only anticipate the correction, but by pulling their money out of the stock market, they will actually help to cause a correction. All right? People see that and they say, oh my gosh. So this is a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. Perhaps we'll watch and see, but the warning is there for people who have funds invested in the stock market. They are credible individuals, and this isn't exactly news. We've heard a lot of commentators predict that we are due for a correction in the stock market. We're due for a decline. We've been hitting record prices for some time. It's time to have some sort of a correction, and some people predict up to 30% correction. Now, probably won't be that big, but we could see something significant, and therefore, if you're in stocks, now might not be a bad time to reconsider whether you want to continue to invest in stocks or you want to put your money into something that's more safe and secure and less likely to lose a substantial part of its value in the near future.
Here's another number. You know, you talk about inflation and the dollars. You know, how people are losing value. For the first time ever, the average price for a kilowatt hour of electricity in the U.S. has broken through the 14-cent mark, climbing to a record 14.3 cents in June. And this is information that is released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Before this June, the highest the average price for the kilowatt hour had ever gone was 13.7 cents, the level it hit in June, July, and August, and September of last year. So, you know, things just keep going higher and higher and higher.
Is that because the cost of energy is rising, or is it because the value of the dollar is falling? We're seeing price increases. Are we seeing a genuine price increase, or are we merely seeing a reflection of inflation?
It's probably an inflection of inflation.
Yeah, I think it probably is too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's hard to separate which came first, the inflation or genuine price increases. But there is a difference, and it's more evidence. Look, you people are being hit by inflation, and whatever it was you were paid last year, even though you're getting the same amount of money this year, you're not actually being paid as much. Your wages are going down. someone is able to use your labor for less money than they paid last year. The immediate beneficiary is your employer. Go ahead.
From 2003 to 2013, the annual electricity price index increased from 139 to 200, a climb of almost 44%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in 2007, per capita, and this confirms that it's inflation, per capita electricity production was peaked. So your production peaked in 2007. So
we're actually using less electricity as a nation right now?
This is what it says. In the first 4 months of this year, and this just came in, this is why I'm just kind of fresh. Usually the articles and the discussions we view before, prior to the program, but this is that I found interesting just now. In the first 4 months of this year, January through April, according to the July edition of the Monthly Energy Review, overall electricity production was up. So
sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. It's up as compared to what, though? I mean, it's not up to the peak, apparently, that we saw in 2007, if I understood what you're saying correctly.
That is what the article says.
Peaked in 2007. It's been down since then. It's been up since a recent down, but it's still not back up to the peak level. And the point is, we're using less electricity than we did in 2007, but we are paying more for it.
Which really makes sense because people are cutting back.
Yeah, but people are cutting back, and they're still being charged.
They're still being charged.
Just cutting back. You would think, you know, in a conventional supply and demand system, if the price of milk is, let's just say, $5 a gallon, and people say, that's too high, I'm not going to pay $5 a gallon for milk. And the milk farmers say, oh, they're not buying. Well, they cut the price. But here we are with energy, and if the people say, you know, 14 cents is too much to pay for electricity, I'm cutting back on the amount of electricity we use, guess what? They'll just raise the price of electricity. They're not cutting back. The supplier is apparently not cutting back in order to reflect a reduced demand, and that goes to monopolies, and there's a bunch of other reasons for this and that impact, but just the same. It's one of those little oddities. You look at it and say, huh. They're not running in the same free market that the farmers are involved in when they try to sell milk to consumers.
Well, you were also you have something here about currencies being overvalued, how the pound is overvalued, and the IMF comes out. IMF has been warning. They've been coming out with a lot of warnings, even with the new sanctions. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. The new sanctions that the EU put on Russia. The U.S. is supposed to announce more sanctions bans on Russia tomorrow. The IMF came out and warned that, you know, it's going to backfire, folks. You know, there's consequences to all these bans that you're putting on Russia. Here they are warning about currencies being overvalued.
Well, what we'll do is, we've only got about 45 seconds before we take a break, so we'll talk about currencies being overvalued in the opinion of the International Monetary Fund, and we'll get into that. And what's interesting about it is they are essentially verifying what we try to tell you on this program. If you're going to deal in fiat currencies, you're taking a risk, and they are overvalued in relation to gold, and gold is undervalued in relation to fiat currencies, and the implication is you get out of fiat currencies and go into gold. We'll talk about that more when we return. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. And we were talking before we broke for commercials, just an article. Let me see. Where's this article? I think it was ZeroHedge.net. No, it's from Mitch Shedlock at Global Economic Analysis. And just pointing out that the IMF recently announced that they thought the British pound was overvalued. But in April of this year, they announced that the New Zealand dollar was overvalued by 20%. They're guessing the English pound is overvalued by 5 to 10%. New Zealand dollar overvalued by 20%. Swiss franc was allegedly overvalued. Canadian dollar overvalued by 10%. Australian dollar overvalued by 10%, and U.S. dollar. They went back to 2010, and they announced that the U.S. dollar was overvalued. And they've also recently, in May of this year, said the euro is overvalued, and the yen and the dollar are overvalued in 2012. The point to all of this is that they're right. All of these fiat currencies, and I think all of them are part of the basket of currencies that determine the U.S. dollar index, they're all overvalued. But he says, Ms. Shedlock comes back and he says, IMF overvalued, undervalued judgments are generally on a basket of currency basis. However, it is not mathematically possible for all those currencies to be 5 to 20% overvalued against all the other currencies in the same basket. Even if it was possible, based on precise timing and currency fluctuations, the idea that the IMF can fine-tune currency valuations to the nth degree as it has done is absurd. Nonetheless, the IMF appears to be on target with all of those overvalued assessments, not against other currencies in the basket, or against each other individually, but against gold. And by far greater percentages. And I agree with him. I agree with Shedlock on this. Exactly. He's all of these currencies are overvalued. And by definition, what is therefore undervalued? Gold, 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 undervalued. And it's not just myself or Melody or people like us that do programs like this that are saying gold is undervalued. The fiat currencies are overvalued. Here's the International Monetary Fund. That's a credible authority. They're saying, look, the fiat currencies, they didn't say these words, but this is the implication of what they've said over the past couple of years. They're saying that the fiat currencies are overvalued. Well, if you want to take that advice, if you respect their judgment, you know, I don't respect their motives, the International Monetary Fund, but when they come out and make statements that imply that the whole fiat monetary system is overvalued, it is another signal that it's time to move your money from something fiat into something tangible like gold or silver. And it's consistent, at least a little bit. It's consistent in terms of timing. All right, maybe not for the same reasons, but we had an earlier article. We talked about institutional investors withdrew $8 billion out of the stock market last week. Well, this is parallel information. They are both suggesting that a moment is coming when the fiat currencies will be properly valued and the gold will be properly valued. They are implying that a moment is coming when there'll be a significant correction in the stock market and the price of stocks will be properly valued and probably at a much lower level than they are now. All of this suggests now's the time. Got an extra cash, now's the time to put it into precious metals. There's other investments, tangible investments you can also look at, but got to be careful of that paper. And sooner or later, these warnings that we've advanced over a period of years, they're going to be shown to be exactly right. You can sit back and say, well, it hasn't been right next week and the week after that. And we've had, you know, we've waited on it to some degree. But sooner or later, and not like 20 years from now, within months or a couple of years, we're going to see a dramatic reversal. And those who are on the right side of that reversal could become where they will at least protect their wealth. And in the event of a serious economic problem in this country, merely having any viable savings. You got any money? Huh? Got any savings? Got something you can count on? All by itself. I don't care if you make a profit on the savings. In the land of the blind, a one-eyed man is king. In the land of the bankrupt, a man who's got $100 in his wallet is king. If you've got wealth in the midst of a national bankruptcy, you're going to be in a superior position. And you may even, and even if you don't, if your wealth doesn't appreciate, you're still going to be doing well. All right, your opportunities will be much greater than those of people that are bankrupt. You'll be able to buy things for a dime on the dollar. And all of you have heard those reports, you know, reports like that coming out of economic problems, depressions and whatever, in other countries and at other times in the world. Same thing is probably going to happen here. If you've got savings, you're going to have an opportunity to buy homes that are selling for $250,000. You might be able to get it for $50,000, maybe less. All right, maybe 25 in a worst case scenario. So savings, savings, saving. You got to do what you can to round up some savings, and you've got to make that savings in a medium that the government can't easily seize. If you're going to do your savings, good idea to save. Great idea, necessary idea, vital idea to save. But if you're going to confine your savings to what you can put in a bank account, you're going to be putting your savings at a place where they could be confiscated, where they could be a bail-in, where the deposits are seized to support the bank, where the government seizes the funds on their own to support the government. If you want savings you can count on, you're probably talking about some gold and silver that you can put someplace where you know where it is, no one else does, and you can get at it if you have to. Under those circumstances, if you have savings, and two, if they're in a medium that the government cannot easily seize, then you're going to be in the best situation. We're not predicting an ideal world. we're predicting a difficult world, but those who have savings, particularly savings in gold and silver, they'll be most likely to get by.
Yes, they will.
Hmm. All right. Anything else you'd like to add, Melody?
No, not really. I think you've done a, it's a message here, and, time is running short. I can't tell you how many times I've sat out with all the hot spots in this country. I'm baffled at the price of gold.
Baffled.
And again, it's a good thing because I don't want gold. I mean, I do want gold there. It will get there. But for today, I don't want $3,000 gold because I know what is.
I wouldn't object to it.
I'm not going to object, but I also know what is happening here in this country.
And it's been manipulated. And the good thing about there is a bright side.
The gold is the bright side. Manipulation. That is true. That is correct.
Right? By artificially suppressing the price, they guarantee that the price is going to go up. We don't know when, but the guarantee is that it's going to go up and probably dramatically, which means if people buy in a manipulated price market, right, and you know the prices are being, if you accept the arguments that the prices are being manipulated, they're being intentionally suppressed, then the guarantee is in that if you buy for long term, that sooner or later the price must go up dramatically. You know it has to be true because it is underpriced now. Now, is it going to go up dramatically next fall? I don't know. Is it going to go up this year, next year, after the election? When is it going to go up? No one can tell you for an absolute fact, but if you were able to pick a stock on the stock market and you knew for an absolute fact that the price of that stock, let's say IBM, you knew for an absolute fact that that stock was going to increase at least by 30%, maybe 50%, maybe several 100%, but you knew it was guaranteed to go up. Don't know exactly when, but we know it has to go up. Would you be able to resist purchasing that stock? I know a lot of people want immediate returns, and they want immediate gratification, and therefore they want things to go up right now. But what if you're just guaranteed it's going to go up and it's going to go up significantly over the course of the next several years? Would you buy the stock? And the answer, and for most many people, would be yes. I'll take that deal. You're guaranteeing it's going to be worth more? It might not be worth more this year or next year. We don't know when it's, but it's going to be worth more big time in the foreseeable future. Would you take that? Would you make that investment? And the answer for many people would be yes. Of course they would. They take that long-term view and say, that long-term view is built into gold and silver because the prices have been manipulated. We are not looking at a true free market price of gold. When it's $1,300 an ounce, that's not the free market talking. That's the manipulated market talking. And sooner or later, the manipulation has to end. And when it does, the price goes up. And in the case of gold and silver, my opinion, dramatically. It's part of the reason I've seen people, credible people, who talk about $50,000 an ounce gold. I don't agree with that necessarily, but $25,000 seems to me to be, pretty fantastic. But there is no doubt in my mind that we can see $5,000 and $10,000 gold within the next few years. The fact I have no doubt doesn't make it, I'm not telling you that's God's truth, but it's I have no doubt. To me, that's built in. It's like that spring, the suppression. We've got that spring jammed down. We're holding that spring and doing everything. And all of a sudden, if they lose control, that spring is going to pop. And when it does, price goes up big time. So can we see 5,000? I don't doubt that we're going to see it. 3,000 for sure. 5,000, yeah. 10,000, maybe. Other people talk about $25,000, $50,000. On one level, I hope so. But it wouldn't be in $25,000 or $50,000 of today's dollars, if you catch my drift. That would reflect hyperinflation more than anything else. And the prices would go up, and it might be that the purchasing power might not be dramatically increased as compared to today. But in comparison to all of your friends who have saved their money in a bank account or put it into bonds or bought themselves some stocks, your gold is going to be a superb investment. And those who have saved their money in fiat and paper in debt instruments, they're likely to lose their assets. What do we got, Melody? 3-4 minutes left?
Yeah, and I just got to get this one off my chest. Today, Obama came out and he thanked the Muslims for building the very fabric of our nation. Today represents the, I guess it's the last day of Ramadan. It is
They've built the fabric of our nation, is that right?
His statement that was released today, was put out today by Obama on the occasion of this religious holiday, is raising some eyebrows. The statement that I'm getting from CNS News is this, and this is what it says. So this last month has been a time of fasting, reflection, spiritual renewal, and service to the less fortunate. While Eid marks the completion of Ramadan, it also celebrates the common values that unite us in our humanity and reinforces the obligations that people of all faiths have to each other, especially those impacted by poverty, conflict, and disease in the United States. Eid also reminds us of the many achievements and contributions of Muslim Americans to building the very fabric of our nation and strengthening the core of our democracy. That is why we stand with people of all faiths here at home and around the world.
Except the Christian faith, of course.
Except the Christian faith, yes. Of course, to protect and advance their rights to prosper, and we welcome their commitment to giving back to their communities. And that's disturbing.
It's one of those things where you can laugh, you can wince, you can, I don't know what you do. You just sit back and say, Jesus, the man is just shameless, just shameless. Apparently, the Muslims discovered America. Christopher Columbus was apparently a Muslim. The founding fathers were Muslims. Constitution was first written in Arabic, and then they copied it into English to make the, you know, the American people so it would be understood by them, but it was... Some of this just gets, look, I saw an email just in the last day or two, and someone was talking about the Catholic Church. I'm not Catholic. But they point out that a fifth of the churches in this country, or excuse me, a fifth of the hospitals in this country are Catholic. They had charities, and they mentioned a number of things that the Catholic Church does for the United States, and they pointed out, they said, have you seen anything like that committed by the Muslim faith? What do they do for the world? And the answer is, it's not obvious that they're helping anybody, other than perhaps themselves. I'm Alfred Addis. We're out of time. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you have a good day, good afternoon. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
Ain't it sad?